Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Apostle Crystal Lee. I'm glad to be here with you this evening for Torah Today. We are doing our prophetic parashat, Metzorah, and we're going through this whole process because we actually did a live broadcast on Saturday, and I talked for probably an hour or so, and nobody heard a word I was saying. Thankfully, what happens with those broadcasts when there's a lot of space there, they just kind of condense it. They remove the space out of the broadcast before they put it up. So if you listened to that broadcast and you heard the 22 minutes that we were actually live, you recognize that we didn't get to get all that we were speaking about in. So I'm just excited to be here with you tonight. We're talking about the leper and that actual conversation about leprosy being more of a spiritual disease than it is a natural disease. It's absolutely not a natural disease, even though we live in a world that has claimed some understanding of its origins and even possibly claimed some victory over its cure, quote unquote. We're living in an age where I believe that the Father's going to bring some things back to the table. We went through some seasons where the grace and the mercy of the Father was just extended to his creation in a way that was just amazing mercy, just amazing grace. Because the truth be told, if we all had to be faced with some things, we might have all at some point had leprosy, just not saying the right things, just not having the right conversations, you know. And so this leprosy, this issue in the skin is actually a result of speech. It's actually a result of conversation. And it was mostly, I say mostly because Naaman was one that was noted as having had this leprosy or a skin issue. I'm going to do a little bit more study on that just to see if that word actually was the same as, or if it actually aligned with the things that we're studying now, if those are actually the same thing. But he's the one person that is in Scripture that had leprosy or a skin issue of this magnitude that was not of the Hebrew culture. Most of the people that we have read were of that Hebrew culture. So, and I'm not sure if the four lepers, that's the other outstanding example. So maybe by tomorrow we'll have some more information on those two scenarios. Just going to dig a little bit deeper and identify what the case history is on those two situations. But, you know, something came up yesterday, and the Holy Spirit gave us just about five words, and that was, can you eat those words? The Bible declares that by your words come either justification or condemnation. Then the word begins to talk about us being mindful of the words that we speak, because by our words we'll be justified and by our words we'll be condemned. But the other thing is, you'll have the fruit of what you say. You will eat the fruit of what you say. And so I believe, after much study, that this spirit of the leper, this spirit, this issue in the skin, is actually a spiritual issue. It's not a physical issue, even though it has physical implications, it has physical manifestation, but it is definitely a spiritual issue. We talked about the woman with the issue of blood. That was a couple weeks ago. Matthew 9, Mark 5, Luke 8. You can go back and look at that. We talked about that situation of uncleanness, but we didn't get to finish this portion of Torah, which was, I believe, Leviticus, probably about chapter 13, I believe it is, through 15. So I want to try to get through some of that reading today. And I'm only giving myself an hour every day just because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time. I want to just kind of break it up so that we can spend some time making some points. And we don't want to just kind of go around the same conversation over and over again. This leper spirit on earth, as it is in heaven, was one of the things that the Father began to have a conversation with me about, and begin to talk about death and life are in the power of the tongue. We talked about that yesterday. It's Proverbs 18:21, under the power of the tongue. And if the Father is in heaven and he speaks from that place to give us vision, to give us information, to give us downloads, then therefore we should speak in the earth as it is spoken in the heavens. We saw that the Master began to have a conversation about doing nothing but what he hears the Father. He says nothing but what he hears the Father saying. He does nothing but what he sees the Father doing. But then there was a very pointed scripture in John 12:49. He said, I have not spoken of myself. In other words, I don't speak of my own permission. You understand what I'm saying? I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which has sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And we divided that, the say of the speak, into two different categories, because what I should say is the thing that I should speak right now, but what I should speak is an ongoing, that's an ongoing situation, okay? And so the other thing that we looked at was Deuteronomy 18:18. He said, I will raise up a prophet from among your brethren, and I'm gonna put my word in his mouth. What I say to him, what I'm saying is what I'm going to put in his mouth to speak. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the importance of being of the creation of Yah, being a son of Yah, is that we begin to say what he's saying, because it prevents issues. It prevents issues of all kinds. We talked the other day about the keys to Leviticus, this whole Vayikel, this whole He Commanded. This book is one that's often overlooked, and I'm going to bring a couple more facts to you tomorrow about the time that they spent the time that they had spent in the area they were in. It was a very short period. I believe it was about 30 days that they spent in this whole area where Leviticus, somewhere between Exodus chapter 10 and this Levitical portion, somewhere around where we're ending up at now, maybe 18. It was about 30-day period, but we want to go through this process to see that all of this information was being given to them so that they could understand how they should function in the place that he was bringing them to. You know, this was to give them what they needed as far as information so that they would be transformed into the people that they needed to be by the time they got into the land. Understand, they're still being processed. out of their captivity. They're still being processed out of their slavery. And so in this wilderness, in this place that they're in, they're being given all of the tools that they need to function in the promise. Can I tell you something? Even though you've been going through some challenging moments, even though it seems like you were in a wilderness situation, and yes, you have been, and you're processing through some things, yes, you are, you have to understand and see it for what it is. The Father is preparing you to be one that can accept the inheritance, one that can maintain the inheritance. He's processing you so that you'll be ready to receive the promise. One of the things that he kept telling them was, when you get over into the land, see, the land is already contaminated. It's contaminated with all the sins of those nations that have lived in it. And what I want for you is that when you get to that land, for you to be free of disease. They came out of their captivity free of disease. They didn't have, none was sick, none was weak, none was, you know, they weren't losing anything. They were all strengthened for the battle. As you remember, as we're in this hour of Passover, and again, if you're missing Passover conversations, you're going to need to come to the Facebook page and see that there and have that conversation there. But as we're in this season of Passover, I think we're now into the third day of Passover, we're looking at this dynamic where he's telling them that you need to have your loins girt about. When he's saying this loins girt about, I'm saying that for this purpose. He was strengthening them. He had strengthened them to do the thing that they were getting ready to do, which was come out of captivity. He strengthened them to bring them out of slavery physically. But in the wilderness, they had to be processed mentally to be able to conceptualize, to have the capacity to really contain the thing that the Father was giving them, which was a new name, a new title, a new position. So when he says, have your loins girt about you, he's talking about take the slack out of your back. Let your loins be strengthened. And I know oftentimes, and I've been guilty of this, it's one of the things that I've overlooked. Groin and loin are two different things. So a lot of times when we look at the loins in the scripture, we're thinking of the groin area when that's really the lower part of the back. That's where the burden is bared, okay? And so he's speaking to them in this moment. He's saying, listen, I'm preparing you to do what you're about to do. I'm giving you the strength that you need, that place that you were abnormally used, that place that you were burdened, that place that you had too much weight on you. I'm strengthening that place so that you can carry the weight of this assignment and come out of your captivity and come into the place that I'm calling you to. What happens in the process is that oftentimes we're learning. We're being processed through some things and we're learning. But one of the things about the Hebrew children, especially that first batch, they were just not in the learning process. They were not discerning that this was a learning process. They began to perceive that he had brought them out into the wilderness to kill them. They began to fault find against Moshe. Listen, you brought us out here to kill us. I want you to understand something. As we're talking about Medzora, as we're talking about this spiritual disease, as we're talking about this issue in the skin as a result of a spiritual condition, this brings us to understand that a lot of the things that they were saying concerning Moshe in the wilderness is what wound them up in the situations that they wound up in when they were being assaulted, when they were being killed, when they were being taken advantage of by whatever was in the environment. Just think about this for a moment. As they're walking through the environment, as they're walking through the wilderness, they begin to have a conversation with Moshe saying, you brought us out here to kill us. You know, we don't trust this process. We're not trusting this process. And they begin to speak against him. When one of the commandments of Yah is that you should not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's one of the commandments. And when we start talking about bearing false witness, there's all kinds of issues that come out of speaking something, saying that you're something, but then speaking something contrary to who you say you are. That bears a lot of consequence. And so as they were saying all of these things in the wilderness, if you remember, they're in the wilderness situation. They're being covered. There's a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to protect them from the elements. This is the actual Shekinah. This is the actual glory of Yah that is covering them in this wilderness situation, whether night or day. And the Father says, you know what, I'm going to remove my hand because maybe you need to see what it looks like, what things look like when I'm not covering you. Maybe you need to get some kind of identification on what the position is that you'll hold when I'm not over you, when I'm not covering you. When he removed that covering, when he removed that hedge, those scorpions that were already in the wilderness, they were there. It's not that they were not there. They began to bite them. They began to deal with them. Those fiery serpents, those fiery scorpions, they began to deal with them. And you know, what I'm thinking about now as I'm looking at this metzor, as I'm looking at the spiritual disease that comes from the mouth, that's an issue of the words that are being spoken contrary to what heaven is saying. I'm looking at this thing. They begin to say, you brought us out here to kill us. And guess what? They begin to eat the fruit of those words. Anytime they begin to talk about being brought out into the wilderness, because they said that a whole bunch of times, being brought out to be killed, they begin to suffer consequences of the words that they released. And so it's important that we identify if we can eat the words that we're speaking. Can you eat the words that you're saying? Father, help us today. We thank you right now that you are God and that you are our example and that you are our Father, and that as the Master showed us the way, as he showed us how to walk in the way, he showed us that we're not to speak unless you're speaking. He showed us that we're not to move unless you're moving. You're showing us the dynamics of the movement. And so, Father, we want to treat you like someone treats their dance instructor when they go to the class. They're only moving according to what they're being trained to move. They're only following the instructions and the form that being given to them so that they can perfect that form, they can perfect that shape, they can perfect the dynamics of the movement and actually put forth the thing that the teacher is putting forth. We thank you right now that you've given us the example of the Mashiach. We thank you that we can read the words that he's left to us. We thank you that we can see this instruction that you've given us. Even in Torah, you've given us this instruction to educate us. You said that all scripture is given for education purposes, you know, for profitable, for doctrine. That's education. It's going to educate us. It's profitable. In other words, it brings increase. The instruction brings us increase. It's profitable for doctrine. We thank you right now that it is a reprover. It gives us proof of what you're saying. There is proof that comes as a result of the words that you release to us. And for instruction in righteousness, it shows us. It gives us the dynamics, even as you gave to Moshe and Aaron, the dynamics of what to say to the people to instruct them how to become the people that you had called them to be, which was a righteous nation, a holy nation. You begin to talk to Moshe about be holy, for I'm holy, you know, and talk to the people about the position and the status of holiness and how that's supposed to look. So we give you glory right now that you've never given us something to do that was impossible. You've never spoken to us about a thing that we were not capable of, and we love you for that, that you've given us every tool that we need to accomplish the thing that you've spoken to us. Can you eat those words? We want to look at the speaking principle of Yah again, and Yah said, and it was. Very first thing that the Father did in the beginning, I've been saying this in almost every broadcast, just because of the hour that we're in, is that he divided the light from the darkness. And I believe that this spiritual issue, this spiritual disease that has physical manifestation, is one of those things that divides and shows the division of that which is clean and that which is unclean. We've got to give an accounting, because an accounting will be made based on the words that are spoken, and accounting will be made, and things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And this is the thing that the priests were searching out. They're searching out, you know, the depth of what these words are coming from. Is this, how deep is this? So the skin was the example that was used as that platform to identify the depth of the disease, the depth of the issue. How deep it is will be verified by the priest. We have a story of 10 lepers in Luke 17:11. We look there, 17:11. I don't even know if we're going to get to read all of the passages for Metzor, but I'm just going with what the Holy Spirit is saying right now. So let's just go ahead and go with what he's saying right now. Luke 17:11, as we look at that passage, let's look at that Luke 17:11. Turning there right now. 17:11, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Yahusha, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at this. making a note of this, as I read some of the passages already in Torah, which could be anywhere from Leviticus 13 to 15. Look at those whole passages there. You'll note that this was not an issue for a physician, but this was an issue for the Kohanim, the priest, or his sons, okay? And so who is the Mashiach? Who is Yahusha? He is the high priest. He is the great high priest. And so they're coming to him, and they're saying, listen, have mercy on us. And he says, listen, go show yourselves unto the priest. In other words, I've already handled this thing now. You go ahead and show yourselves to the priest. They went. And as they went, they were cleansed. The Bible says, and one of them, this denotes that they were of the Hebrew culture, because the only reason they would be going to show themselves to the priest is because they have to follow the procedure and follow the process. Now, here's the thing that I didn't get before now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is good. Check this out. Only one of them comes back. When he saw he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified Yah. I want you to see this, because this says to me, I'm going to tell you what this says to me, that the others that were going along possibly were not healed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know that oftentimes we say that he healed 10 and only one came back. I want you to identify this, because the reason why you're going to the priest is because you want him to assess and to identify the depth of the issue. If you have an issue and what the depth of the issue is, he sends them to the priest, the one that has the right heart, the right spirit. Because understand, there was a process. Okay, I'm looking at an issue here. I don't know what the issue is yet. I don't see the white hair. I'm going to look at the issue. Okay, I'm going to quarantine you for 7 days. When you come back after 7 days, if nothing has moved, if nothing has changed, I'm going to quarantine you again for 7 days. There were processes to follow. If the hair is not turned white after that, then I'm going to declare you clean. If the hair is white and it goes deeper than the skin, I'm going to declare you unclean. They had to go to the priest to get verification for the announcement of either their cleanness or their uncleanness. I believe, based on what I know about this issue, based on what I know about the spiritual ramifications of this thing, it's a mouth issue that they have. This one has the heart and comes back. Only this one here has the right heart when he's going. And this is why he's healed. And this is why he's able to come back and say thank you. This is why he's able to come back. But I want you to see this. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified Yah and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Look at this. And Yahusha answering said, "Where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to Yah, save this stranger." Now, I want you to see this. How about this? I've never seen this before either. The Bible says here that one of them was a Samaritan, but he was sending him. Now, this is possibly either he was a stranger to the culture and came into the culture. Possibly he may have been a Hebrew and wound up in Samaria. Nonetheless, he did cleanse originally all of them, but that doesn't mean that by the time they got to the priest, they remained cleansed, because they did not have the right heart, they did not have the right spirit, and everything about this spiritual issue requires that you go through a process to be cleansed, that you go through a process. See, being outside of the camp, being set apart from, not set apart, but being ostracized, being quarantined, this is not set apart, this is being quarantined, this is being left out, this is being put out of the general population, and having to rip your clothes and wear your hair long and cover your mouth when people are approaching to declare unclean. Unclean is not a place that you want to be. So when you cry out for deliverance, when you cry out for freedom, look, we're in the Passover season. When you cry out for that, and the Holy and the Father through His Son gives you that deliverance, gives you that freedom, how would you, in the right mind, not come back to say thank you? How would you not be processed through the proper channels? The Bible declares that it's the grace of Yah that leads us to repentance. Something about His grace, something about His tender mercy doesn't lead us to continue in a way that we've been going, but it leads us to come back and say thank you. It leads us to walk away from the thing that we once were connected to, not to have an affection for that thing anymore, not to be connected to that thing anymore, because mercy's been extended for my freedom. The ability of Yah has been given to me to walk away because of the mercy, just the favor, unmerited favor that was given to me.
in this moment. So when we look at this passage, there's something deep here. Fell down on his face and at his feet and given him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Yahusha, I'm trying to get out of Yeshu because it was not Yeshu. It was Yahusha. Y-A-H is before all of that because he's the son of Yah. And Yahusha answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to Yah, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. By faith has made thee whole. I want you to see this because he cleansed all of them, but he declares to this one, your faith has made you whole. Hmm? And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of Yah should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of Yah cometh not with observation. See, they were looking for something very specific, and this is what kept them caught up. I didn't want to even go that far, so let me come back from that place before I wind up in a prophetic rabbit hole, okay? We recognize also that leprosy in Naaman, or Naaman as they call him in 2 Kings chapter 5, but that was transferred to Gehazi, and I want you to identify this transfer. Now, Naaman or Naaman goes down to the water, and he cleanses himself as the prophet has told him to do. Originally, he had an issue with it, but he finally went, you know, per some persuading of the people that were around him. This is very important. When you've got people around you that are godly people that can identify and perceive what needs to be done, those are the people that you need to have in your crowd. They need to be around you because there will come times when you don't make the best decisions, and it's not because you don't desire to do the right thing. You don't desire a specific thing, because Naaman desired to be healed, but he didn't desire to wash in dirty water. But he had to have people in his corner that said, listen, had he told you to do something extravagant, you would have done that. If he told you to leap over the waters, or, you know, leap over 10 cows, you would have figured out how to get that done. But he told you to go wash in this water, and you're having an issue with this. Go do it. Just go and receive your healing. And so he finally goes and does that. But I'm saying all this to say, you know, Gehazi follows after him after Elijah rejects the offering that Naaman is going to give him. He doesn't want his money. He says, no, just go on. But Gehazi runs after him. I want you to see that this disease is connected to the spirit or the attitude, the unlawful attitude of a man that also connects to his mouth. Because what did he say when he finally caught up? He ran Naaman down and he catches up with him and he says, listen, is everything okay? He said, oh, yeah, you know, my master just wanted me to catch up with you to collect that money that you were thinking to give him. I don't know what he was thinking at the time, but he just sent me. See, now he's speaking against the man of Yah. He's the servant of the man of Yah, but now he's speaking against him. His mouth is on him, and his mouth is speaking something that is against what the man of Yah has instituted, what he said should be. Now he's speaking against it, and what happens in that moment is he contracts the issue. Now Naaman no longer has it. But I want you to see that he's connecting to one that did have it, but that thing is it's transferred to him via his speech. Naaman is free, but Gehazi picks up where Naaman left off and carries this spiritual issue in his body. Are you seeing this? Can you eat those words? Can you eat those words? Death and life are under the power. They are under the power, the influence. That this issue has is as a result, this death and life, the issue, how that outcome happens is by what is spoken, what comes out under the influence of what's spoken, okay? Things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, you know? The lepers, you know, here was this other leper that approached the master. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. And what does the master say? I will. But see, who is he coming to? He's coming to the high priest. You know, he's coming to the master. He's coming to the one that has the authority to declare him clean. And he says, if you will, I want you to notice that he came up to him and didn't say, just heal me. He said, if you will, which means I need you to examine where I am, examine who I am and what I'm operating from. And if you will, you have the power to. He said, I do, and I'm going to heal you. Because he identified the depth of his issue. He identified that his heart was in the right place. So the deliverance and the healing was a result of the issue of his heart. Where was his heart in the moment that he said, if you will, you can make me clean? And the master turns around and says, I will. be thou clean. We looked at Numbers 12. Miriam gets an issue in her skin as a result of coming against Moshe. She comes against Moshe, and she begins to challenge his authority that the Father's given him, and she has spiritual dis-ease. She has spiritual issue in her skin. But I want you to see this. That's in Numbers chapter 12. I want you to see this. Moshe goes to the Father. He's a humble man. He's a meek man. He goes to the Father. He says, listen, you know, don't let this happen to her. Don't let this be the case. And the Father says, listen, if her father had spit in her face, would she have not at least had to be outside of the camp for 7 days? Would that have not made her unclean and she had to be outside of the camp for 7 days? Absolutely. So set her out of here, you know, quarantine her, put her out of the midst of the people. She needs to spend some time identifying where she's erred. She needs to spend some time identifying that she's missed some things here. Okay? And Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4, let's look at that really quickly. That's another area. Matthew 8, 1 through 4. I want you to look at that passage really quickly. This happens right on the other side of the Sermon on the Mount, and it's preceded by the Beatitudes. So I want you to see where this is nestled at. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let's read that real quick. Again, go and read the Torah passages. Those Torah passages are going to be found in Leviticus 12. Nope, that's Tazria. Hold on. That's not what that is. The Torah passages are going to be found in Leviticus 14, but I want you to look at 13 through 15, okay? 13 through 15, 33, all right? We may get a chance to read the prophetic passage for the day. I'm going to start summing this up, start pulling this in. This portion in Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1 and going to 4, is nestled in between the Sermon on the Mount, and it precedes the conversation. It's preceded by the Beatitudes. In other words, the Beatitudes come before. That's character foundations for happiness. And I tell my children all the time that your happiness is a result of your happenings. Did you get that? Your happiness is a result of your happenings. In other words, what you allow to happen, how you happen, what you're doing, is how you're going to determine whether you're going to have happiness. What you're doing, how you're operating, your happenings are going to either give you happiness or they're going to bring you issues that you don't really want to deal with. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 through 4, let's look at it. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, this is the guy I'm talking about, and worshipped him, saying, Master, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And yet Yahushua put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Yahushua saith unto him, look at this, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moshe commanded for testimony unto them. Now, I want to declare this to you. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, when the master showed up, he abolished everything. He was a fulfillment of the law. But yet he's telling this man to go and show himself to the priest. Follow the protocol that's necessary for you to be declared clean. Absolutely, I've cleansed you. Absolutely, you're straight. But you need to go and follow all the protocol. What's the protocol? You got to bring the offering that you're supposed to bring for sacrifice. Do all of the procedure and allow the community to declare you clean because you have followed every step. I think that that's one of the biggest issues that we have in the age that we live in right now. People are not good at receiving instruction. When it's time to receive instruction, everybody has an issue with instruction because everybody wants to be their own man or their own woman. They don't want people to tell them what to do. But oftentimes the things that protect us from the failures in life is the fact that we can hear godly instruction, and that prevents us from going into some places and having to deal with some things. I said this on the broadcast concerning Passover. Just the other day, I was saying that a lot of the issues that have been occurring in the sons of Yah just individually are a result of our lack of being divinely connected to one another. Somehow we wound up doing the godly things that we do. Somehow we wound up being called to some things and doing those things, carrying out those things, but without the mindset of the proper divine connectivity that's called for in the body so that every joint can supply. We have had connections that were ungodly connections that persuaded us of things that we literally thought, you know what, I don't think this is the right thing to do. And people said, no, I think that's the right thing to do. You should do that. Those were ungodly connections. But when the sons begin to come together and make the connection, allow the Holy Spirit to divinely connect us, then we can have the backup that we need, because two is better than one, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. If one fall, the other can help him get up. If the other fall, the other one can help him get up. But if some issue comes up and you got three, if one is falling and one is having an issue, two can come to the rescue. I'm telling you, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to bring us into the divine connectivity of heaven in this hour so that we have those around us that are needful to bring us into the proper dimensions that the Father's calling us to. Sometimes it's about decision making, and sometimes we're being so bombarded. It's not that we don't have the ability to make good decisions. It's just that we need assistance in an area because we're being bombarded with things. We're in an hour of great distraction. And can I tell you something? It's going to be nothing like having godly people around you, because in a multitude of counselors, there is safety, but they need to be godly counselors. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So can you eat those words? Because this issue is a result of the words that we speak. This issue is a result of speaking against the thing that the Father is doing. And so we see this here as we look at this passage here. There was the process that still had to be followed, even though he was cleansed. And so we need to understand that process. I was talking about this yesterday as we were reading the passage. There is this observance of a thing, and then there's a reobservance. So let's go to that really quickly. Let's go to one of the passages. I believe it's Leviticus. I want to look at this one more time. I believe that we're going to just about be done with this. I don't know if we'll come on tomorrow or not. I think we've really kind of summed up this whole nature of this thing. I said this the other day. One of the things that's going to be needful for this book of Leviticus is the understanding of the language. And a lot of times people don't have an understanding of the language, and that's what separates them from having understanding. And this is why the Holy Spirit is so important, because he leads us into all truth. As I was sitting reading all of these things and trying to figure out, like, why is that? And, well, why is she unclean just because she had a baby? And, you know, what is this right here? And what is this issue? He's got an issue in the skin, and then there's an issue in the house, and then there's an issue in the clothes. And the word that came up was mold, and the Holy Spirit began to build on that. It's an issue of an increase of bad bacteria in the body. It's an issue of an increase of bad bacteria that is spreading in the house, spreading on the house, spreading in the clothes. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And this is all a result of a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. It says in the passage that if it was in the clothes, it had to be cut out of the clothes. And if it began to spread even more, then that thing had to be burned. If it was in the house, then you began to take the bricks out of the house and take them to a safe place. But then you had to do some scraping in the house. And if it came back again, then you recognize this is a spiritual issue. But the priest had to, the person who owned the house had to literally go to the priest and say, listen, I'm having an issue in my house. How about this? We don't have people that are willing to go to spiritual authority and say, listen, I'm having an issue in my house. Speaking of your physical edifice, your body, I'm having an issue in my house. I'm having an issue with my mouth. I'm having an issue in my flesh. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you assess this thing? Can you identify what's going on with me and give me the prescription that's needful to move me from this place of issue into the place of freedom? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at this. It says in Leviticus 13, it says, but the bright spot, if it stay in place, I'm in verse 23, and spread not, it is a burning or a boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, the hair in it bright. If the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be a sight in sight deeper than the skin. Look at in sight. We got stuff that's surface issue, and we got stuff that goes deeper than the surface. It's the leader's job. It's the spiritual authority's job here to identify the depth of the issue so that they can prescribe the proper thing for it, okay, the proper acts for it, okay? So it says here, there's a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days, and the priest shall look upon him the seventh day. And if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy. If the bright spot stay in a place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, and the rising of the burning, and the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or a woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in the sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair. I want you to just look at this. Then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Look at all this process that has to be gone through, all of this process of identifying what's going on, how deep is what's going on, what needs to happen as a result of what's going on. You understand what I'm saying? This is important, but I want you to get to this. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, I'm in verse 34, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in the sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Look, these are processes that have to be followed, and if they're followed, then the cleanness remains. See, it's the inability to follow these instructions, I believe, would have brought that uncleanness right back to the person, because you're going to have to follow the process. It's the same thing with everything that the Father ever told them to do in the wilderness so far. This is how you're going to build the thing. This is the blueprint for the tabernacle. This is how I want you to operate with the offerings that you're bringing. All of that. After this day, after the third day, you're not to eat this. Go ahead and take it outside of the camp and burn it. If you eat it, then what you've imputed to the animal that was the sacrifice is back imputed to you. It has not been removed from you. You retain that issue. And so all of this is important. All of this is very important. And it's just about following instructions. It's just about following the protocol. And if we can follow the protocol, we can walk in freedom. You know what I'm saying? If we can just follow the protocol, we can walk in freedom. Okay? Let me read a couple things more here to you. In Matthew 5, through 8:1, the things we won't cut off are the things that contaminate us. There's a lot of conversation about character. It's a lot of conversations between Matthew 5 and 8:1 that talk about the character of things and how things should operate. But the Father said to me the other day, the things we won't cut off are the things that contaminate us. See the desire for Egypt, Sodom, when being freed from destruction and captivity. Look at Lot's wife. She looks back, and she's destroyed. See the desire for Egypt when we're looking at the Hebrew children. They're constantly being reminded of what they came out of. They're constantly talking about what they had when they were there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See the ark scenario. People were unwilling to cut off their sin to live free. Here they have Noah standing before them, talking to them about the freedom that is available to them, and they're denying it. He's talking to them about this rain that's going to come. They don't know what that is, so because they can't get an image of what that is, they can't wrap their head around it, they can't see it, they don't receive it, and it kills them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And everything that they're saying about it is what puts them in a position to be drowned, to be destroyed, okay? People are unwilling to cut off their sin to live free, believing only what they choose to know, to their own destruction. See Cain. The Father literally is talking to Cain. Sin lies at the door, and it wants to rule over you, but you will rule over it. All you got to do is make the right decisions. If you do well, you'll be accepted. Though he was informed of his authority to rule over sin at the door, his lust to destroy his brother was greater. Can you say risky business? That's what that is. We're in risky business when we have a desire that's stronger than the instruction that's given to us for us to walk free. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then we get in this place where we feel like, and I know a lot of people would say of this issue in the skin, oh, wow, that's really harsh. That's really, you know, but something has to be done of people that just think that they can say and do whatever they want to do. And the Father really was really, his hand was heavy upon the people because he wanted them to come into promise. He wanted them to enter into the promise clean and purged and ready to maintain the promise. So his hand was heavy. His hand was heavy on them. Okay, but just like Cain, look at Cain when he receives his punishment. He goes into this, you know, the outcome of my punishment is too great for me. Really? You weren't thinking about that when you were killing your brother. You weren't thinking about. So this thing of the issue in the skin, this spiritual disease, this is not a harsh punishment. This is actually comparable to the level of the issue that is being had. It's literally witchcraft. It's literally walking outside of the way that we were formed. It's literally a walking away from how we were designed to function, to begin to speak something that's contrary to what heaven is saying. Okay? He says here, look, I want to say this. I'm reading some notes here because I want to get through some of these notes. What perfect sin have you held on to, what you think is perfect? What perfect sin have you held on to that you are disallowing the perfect sacrifice with signed purchase order to buy from you? What perfect sin? What sin do you feel like is so perfect? You just love it so much that you're willing to deny the perfect sacrifice that comes with a signed purchase order to buy that thing from you. You're just staying in that position. I know you're expecting me to name what they call the cardinal sins, and a lot of times people are thinking about cardinal sins, but look at this. This is not a sexual issue. This is not a sexual sin that they're winding up with this spiritual disease for. This is a conversational issue. It's an issue of words, okay? I declare to you the weight that's become the sin that so easily besets you is the root cause of every other evil work. James 3:16. For where envy and strife, this word strife describes the root of contention, which is a desire to out oneself forward or push oneself forward. One who doesn't disdain the low arts. The low arts is yourself above everybody else. Okay? That's that self. The low art is a self mindset, considering without consideration, considering yourself without consideration of the unit or the whole. Okay, Philippians 2:3-9. There is confusion and every evil work. That's where that passage comes from. Okay, the Bible says that the way to ascend is first to descend. We know that, to get low. So we see the real issue behind the spiritual disease or uncleanness is the fact that there is no humility in what's being spoken. There is a haughtiness or an exalting of oneself above another to make or shed a light on someone else that's not a good light. The origin of stinking thinking for many men who weren't just born of condemnation is not following the command to holiness. Don't defile yourself with the creeping thing. You know, we can go all the way back to the food laws and look at that. You know, it's an issue of not maintaining the thing, the instructions that were given. It's an issue of not maintaining the instructions that were given, okay? And so when we don't maintain those instructions that were given, then we wind up in this stinking thinking. And because the issue is not just what you're eating, but what's eating you. And some of the time, people that have not just been born for this condemnation, it's an issue of what they're eating. It's an issue of what they're consuming, both naturally and spiritually. You know, what a person has to be consuming spiritually to have this issue as a result of their conversation is there's something that they're hearing. There's something that they are seeing or hearing that they're becoming, and it's causing the issue. They're not actually beholding to the words that the Father was declaring to even to Joshua, let this book of the law not depart from your mouth. This is the thing that you need to be meditating on day and night. And therein, you're going to have good success, and your way is going to be prosperous. You understand what I'm saying? This separates us from that. So don't defile yourself with the creeping thing. I just brought that up because a lot of times what people are eating, both naturally and physically, are the creeping thing that is eating them. You know, there is a such thing as parasites. And when those parasites get a hold of the host, they are eating not only the things that they want to eat, they're eating all of the things that are needful for the person's body to function. And so that can even affect the mind. I wanted to I want to say this first. I did bring up the fact that thou shalt not bear false witness. That's one of the commandments, right? The tongue is a flame. The fire is not defined. Hold on, I'm trying to read my notes. The tongue is a flame. The fire is not the defining measure. It's the origin or the spirit of the fire. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because that ain't what I wrote. The fire is not the definition of the flame. It's the origin of the spirit of the fire, because we can recognize that when the sons of Aaron were dealing in that strange fire, they were killed. But then we look at the cloven tongues of fire in Acts chapter 2, and we recognize that this separated tongue, which was a tongue that spoke one language that began to speak another language, that was speaking the good works of Yah to people in another language, this was a different fire. So it's not the issue that the tongue is a fire. It's the issue of where the fire is emanating from. Does that make sense to you? It's an issue of where the fire is actually emanating from. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 3, that's where we see the cloven tongues of fire. It's a divided, it's set apart, it's a separated thing, okay? James 3:6 says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. Psalms 120, verse 2 says, Yah, deliver my soul from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. See Korah and company. We talked about them. They begin to come against Moshe and Aaron. As they're dealing in this thing, there's a separation that happens. And I believe that this is that season that we're in. It's all about the separation. It's all about the separation. I was about to read something. What was it, Holy Spirit? I don't remember. I was about to read something, and I don't remember what it was. Let's see if I can bring that back to bear. Hallelujah. I felt like, oh, I know what I was about to read. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I wanted to read this to you because this is some of the things that are going on in our world right now. Came across this article last week when we were getting ready to do the actual broadcast, and I want to read this. It's a mysterious infection spanning the globe in a climate of secrecy, and we are under the Fair Use Act. This is a New York Times ad, and it is a part of public domain. The rise of Candida auris embodies a serious and growing public health threat. I wanted to bring this to bear, especially because I was sharing with you that this issue, whether in the skin, whether in the clothes, or whether in the house, is an issue of bacteria that is a rampant bacteria, okay? And it says here that there is a growing public health threat, drug-resistant germs. This ad or this article was April 6, 2019. Last May, an elderly man was admitted to the Brooklyn branch of Mount Sinai Hospital for abdominal surgery. A blood test revealed that he was infected with a newly discovered germ. As deadly as it was mysterious, doctors swiftly isolated him in an intensive care unit. What did they do with him? They isolated him. What should we do in the body? Is isolate the things that are presenting an issue. They need to be isolated. It says the germ, a fungus called Candida auris, preys on people with weakened immune systems. Weakened immune system. In other words, you don't have immunity to this thing because your system is weakened. When we begin to speak outside of the law of Yah, when we begin to speak outside of what the Father is saying, it weakens our immunity to the things that are outside of us. I gave you the example of the children in the wilderness and how that immunity was given to them by that fire above their head at night and that cloud by day to protect them from the sun. That was their immunity. That was their immune system. It protected them from the things that were outside of them. But when the system was weakened, when the immune system was weakened, then those serpents were able to get access to them. It says it is quietly spreading across the earth. It says globe, but we don't do globe here because we believe in flat earth. Over the last 5 years, it has hit a neonatal unit in Venezuela, swept through a hospital in Spain, forced a prestigious British medical center to shut down its intensive care unit, and taken root in India, Pakistan, and South Africa. So this thing is on the move. I want to share this with you just before we get out of here. It's important that you identify frequency in this season. It's important that you identify with what the Father has said. If you're following that protocol, what he has commanded that we eat, where he has commanded that we go and not go, what he has commanded is clean and unclean, that's important because that frequency allows you to supersede everything that's coming towards you. It gives you an immunity. It gives your system the boost that it needs to prevent those things that are not authorized in your body, whether mentally, physically, spiritually. It protects you. It is your covering. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible declares that under the shadow of his wings do we safely trust, that he is our strong tower. The righteous can run in and are safe. Did you hear that? Not just everybody can run in and be saved. The righteous run in and are saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When I'm thinking about that tower, I'm thinking about a situation in the book of Judges where it was right after Deborah and Barak won the battle. Well, the Hebrews came into their victory over Sisera, the woman that nailed the peg through the head of their adversary. And right after that, there's a woman who is a part of a unit that is running from another king, and he runs them into a tower. And when he runs them into this tower, they run up into the tower, they lock it, and he's attempting to get access to them. And as he is standing below, one of the women above takes one of the rocks, one of the stones from the top of that tower and drops it down, and it falls on his head and it cracks his skull open. That's the tower that we're running into and are saved. We're at the top, the enemy is at the bottom, and everything that we're throwing down has an impact that cracks the skull of the enemy. How can I say this? Because there is an enmity that's between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. And the Bible declares that enmity that would be put between the woman and the serpent would cause that serpent seed to bruise the heel of her seed, but that seed of the woman would crush his head. I'm telling you, we're in a season where the Father really wants to remind us of some things because there are some things that are getting ready to happen. I believe that we're at that place where the showdown on the mount is coming. We're getting ready to prophetically actualize some of the things we've already seen in Scripture just in a greater way. We're in this season where some of these things that were an issue in another season concerning the sons are going to come back to become an issue. People are going to have to deal with the recognition that mold, that this bacterial issue is going to become a real force in the earth concerning some things because people have said some things, they've done some things, they've abandoned the way of Yah, they've abandoned the voice of Yah, and they're saying their own things. The prophets are going wild. They're like wild asses in the earth, saying whatever they want to say over the people with no responsibility for the prophetic or the pathetic word that they're releasing. There's going to be some judgment in this season. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not sure if we're going to come back tomorrow and say anything. I really believe we have covered this adequately. Maybe I'll just come back tomorrow and just read through the chapters that we needed to read. But I believe that the origin of this stinking thinking, where we feel like we can say and do whatever that has not been met with this kind of force, it's a result of what we're consuming. It's a result of what we're watching. It's a result of what we're hearing. It's a result of what we're eating. Okay, and this is really important that we get a grip on some things and begin to guard our gates as we have never guarded the gates before, because there are some things that are being released in this hour that darkness is releasing that the Father does not want you to be a partaker of. He does not want his sons to be a partaker of what darkness, diabolical natures are releasing in this season. I want to share this with you before we go, because I think this is a very powerful point to share. And then the next thing you're going to hear is the music. And we are out of here. Again, that article was titled A Mysterious Infection Spanning the Globe in a Climate of Secrecy. And that was the New York Times. That was April 6th. You can go and find that article for yourself. One of the things that I wanted to share, let me go back to what I was getting ready to say, because sometimes when I leave out of that thing, I wind up not remembering what I was about to say. But at the end of the day, it's the Father's desire to bring us into a place where he can habitate. He can have habitat with us. And in doing that, that chases away everything else. That just isolates us and protects us from the things that the enemy is trying to do. I probably will remember what I was going to say tomorrow. If I go back and listen, I will hear the connection between the last thing I said before I told you all about the article again and what I was about to say. But I appreciate you. I love you much, and I'm excited to be here with you. Thank you for those that are listening from over the waters. We appreciate your presence here. Share this audio with as many people as you can, and let them know that we're here on the weekends for Torah. We're going to be back on Blog Talk for Faith for Family on the 26th of this month. We are going to be back, and we will be in our Faith for Family broadcast. Let me tell you what the title of that broadcast is before I get off. I want to remind you also that our men's gathering is coming up. That is a Nation of Kings. That's May 17th and 18th here in the city of Detroit. If you're in the surrounding areas, please go ahead and register. We want you to be there. We're inviting some other men that they're not paid for guests, but you are, because you're going to help us. You're going to join forces with us and assist us in facilitating the environment that's going to be needful to give them what they're coming to get. The thing that's coming up is, I'm trying to find it. My God, where is it? Okay, I can't find it right now, but at any rate, let me see if I can find it in episodes. At any rate, as this is coming up, it's taking its time. Building Family. That's our title, Building Family, with myself and my brother, Apostle Lancer from Chicago. Our subject is going to be Family Gatekeepers. This is going to be part one. This is going to be a series because it's a lot to talk about. Family Gatekeepers. Part one. Be there on the 26th at 7 p.m. That's Friday night. That's a Friday night, 4/26/2019 at 7 p.m. We're going to be talking about Family Gatekeepers, and that's going to be part one of that series on Building Family with myself and my brother, Apostle Lancer. I'm excited that we're here with you. I'm excited that you're here with us. We love you much, and we're going to get out of here. If I remember what I was going to say before I gave you the article again, I'll definitely say it, and we'll go ahead and read through the passages tomorrow and try to read through it and get through it without interruption. But really, at the end of the day, you need to read those passages so that we can come here and do table talk and have prophetic insight into what the Father is really saying to us. This is a spiritual issue with a physical manifestation, and this is something that we want to steer clear of in this season. We want to make sure our spiritual immunity protects us from these kinds of things. We love you much. We'll talk to you tomorrow in our read of Torah. Peace.
Thank you.